Well, I grew up in a Hispanic family here in Queens, New York, and grew up Catholic, which didn't mean really much to us other than kind of going to church once a year, if anything. And the family, we were Catholic, so grew up with a belief in God, but never a real relationship, if anything. I mean, if you asked me, I would tell you I did. I wore a rosary and a scapulary around my neck, and if you asked me, I definitely knew about God. But the truth is, my life was spiraling out of control. By the age of like 15, I started hanging out. Well, 13, I started hanging out with the wrong crowd and just always with older cousins and brothers, and got into drugs and marijuana and selling things, and eventually just ended up dropping out of school and leaving school by the age of 15 years old. And, you know, just got caught up. You know, you just get caught up. You just, that was the way I grew up. Those were the people that I rolled with. And it was just trying to look for, you know, just that the cool thing to do or whatever this life was about. But I got caught up and eventually just started to go down the wrong path. I was arrested at the age of 15 already for like gun possession, assault, robbery, and was with the wrong crowd. And I just remember kind of just whether it was with friends or girls or jobs or doing illegal things or legal things, just, you know, is this about money? What are you supposed to do in life? I don't know. I just got caught up and I was doing the same thing every week with the same people in the same crowd. And eventually I was just kind of sick of it. I had taken a trip to Florida for a while, for a year, thought that I could clean myself up, and things just got worse. You know, how many know that you can try and run from problems, but, you know, it really has to begin inside. But eventually I came back. My family realized that I was about to die, and somebody gave them a phone call and said, listen, if you don't get your son back here, man, he's with the wrong crowd. It's getting bad. So they lied to me. They told me my father was having a heart attack or something to get me back to New York. And I actually came back to New York and just came back here. And I met a friend, my friend that I used to hang with, sling with. We used to get into trouble, been arrested before and all types of things, and hang out together. But he was telling me, hey, listen, man, what's going on? I said, oh, I'm just sick of it, man. What are you doing? Doing the same thing, doing the same thing. And he says, I want you to meet my sister and her husband. They're Christian. I want you to talk to them. I said, oh, man. At this point, I didn't even know what a Christian was. We didn't grow up Christian, like I said. You know, he just bothered me so much. One day, I think I was tipsy on a 22-ounce, and he said, yo, D, you know what? They're having a barbecue over at their crib. I want you to come over and just come. He bothered me so much. I said, all right, I'll head over there. So I went there, and it was the first time, really, that I had met Christians like this, and I was just bombarded, and I was looking at these people, all different nationalities, black, white, Spanish, Chinese, everything, and just Asian, and just wondering, wow, what's going on here? These people look so happy. What type of party is this? You know, I'm looking around for the alcohol or the drugs or whatever it is they were high on. And I said, this is, you got to be kidding me. I don't see anything. And they're all talking about God, and they're talking about him like they were just with him this morning. And I was just kind of like, this is bizarre, you know, but I couldn't shake it off. You know, that night I heard a lot about God and all these things, and I heard people pray and just went home. Well, couple of weeks down the line, we're hanging out. We're coming back from a club together in a car, and me and this guy, himself, my friend, you know, who's the brother of this couple. And we were in the car and we're smoking marijuana, getting drunk, just coming back. And he says, you know what? I got a tape, man. Do you mind? Yeah, I got a tape. Can I pop it in? You know, do you mind us listening to this? And whatever, pop in whatever you want. And it happened to be a preacher, a pastor, and I didn't know what that was. I never heard anybody preach. I don't think anybody did in the car, really. And we were stuffed in this car, you know, just getting high, and this guy just starts talking, and I mean, you could hear a pin drop. Everyone was just, nobody said anything, but everyone was just listening, and nobody said anything, just kind of, all right. He dropped everybody off that night. We were getting ready to go. Nobody said much. A couple of weeks later down the line, and I remember not being able to shake that off in my bed and going home, just, you know, this man was talking about sin, which I never really heard of like that. Sin and not being able to control your life and the meaning of life. And there's so much more to this. And I remember, you know, somebody once saying that the truth has a ring to it. You know, when you hear truth, you can't shake it off. There's something about it that just bears witness inside the human soul. So 2 weeks down the line, 3 weeks down the line, we're in a parking lot just hanging out. And once again, we're all just, you know, doing drugs, just hanging out. And he says, hey, you know what? I got another one of those tapes. Do you mind if I put it in? Everybody got excited, said, yo, throw it in, throw it right in. Light up another one. You know, we just started getting into it. And again, just being arrested by this truth, man. It was just like, who is this guy at the end? We were like, is this guy real? I mean, is he in New York? You know, he said, nah, man, this is a pastor. His name is David Wilkerson. This is my sister's, you know, pastor over at the church. He's real, man. You know, he preaches every week. Really, we can go if you want. We said, wow, we got to go. We got to go hear this. We got to go meet this guy, do something. So lo and behold, yeah, we actually all went as a group of like, I mean, maybe eight of us. That this guy himself, he wasn't really walking with the Lord, but he knew the truth and his sister had been telling him about the Lord. He was just bringing us in to hear this. And we started going to church, started going to a new believers. I mean, you know, I'm just fast forwarding, but it was amazing. It couldn't fit through my mind that God was like trying to get my attention. Like, who am I? Wait a minute. And it just dawned on me. All right, we're human. We're living this life. How can I be living this life without the one who created me, without the one? And it just dawned on me. I said, wait a minute. You know about God, but you don't have a relationship with him. So we started going to church. She invited me one day. I remember she said, listen, there's a retreat. They invited us to this retreat, a young adults retreat or something. And I remember just going on this retreat, and I wasn't Christian yet at all. I was hearing it. I was coming to church, and that was one of the pivotal points. I remember just going on this retreat and getting on the bus and seeing people clap and pray and act nice. And it was just so foreign to me. Like, I was just so full of like anger and hate and always, you know, who's got beef with you? The first person who looks at you wrong, it was just like you're going to get into a fight. And I remember the love and all these things. And it was just like being taken to another planet for that weekend. Like, just went on that retreat and seeing love and truth being spoken. And it was just so foreign to me. But I realized, wow, this is what I'm missing. This is what my family's missing. This is why we're all messed up, man. This is why. And it just I couldn't realize how many people. It was like a school of fish going, everyone going one way. And God, you're asking me to go this way. Could it be really true that so many people are blind that don't know this? Is it true? But I realized at some point, you know, God praying and in my bed, at some point, God really spoke to me. And, you know, David, you know the truth now. You're either going to turn away from this and keep doing what you're doing. You can hear the truth and, you know, accept it and I'll be with you and just kind of walk. Or you can really go all the way and just give me everything. And that last one, it almost like stung. I remember rolling around in my bed and just thinking about this and praying and speaking to God because I knew it was going to cost something. I knew the people I was with and the things that I was doing and even my family and stuff that my family was doing. I knew it was going to cost something, but I knew it would be worth it. And I just remember thinking, you know, if it's going to take someone to die that others may live, and I would see my family and my friends and others, and I just said, you know what, I'm going to do it, God. I'm going all the way. And it's been a journey. It's been amazing. I mean, I could tell you about singing. I never sang anything. I've sung now in different languages and been all around the world, so many different countries. And I could tell you, I got an education degree to become a teacher. Then I went into nursing, and I'm now in the medical field and stuff in that aspect. But really, it's his peace, his love, and his joy that just came, man, and just changed me. I mean, it's amazing. And yeah, my family at the beginning, they wanted to kick me out of the house, man. They said, David, you was crazy like this. Now you crazy like this. You went from one extreme to the other. But slowly but surely, they realized it wasn't a religion. Nobody brainwashed me. In fact, the God of the universe washed my brain and washed my heart and washed my life. And lo and behold, they started coming to Christ one by one like dominoes. You know, each one in my family, and by the grace of God, really, my whole family are actually believers. My immediate family, my brothers and my sisters and my parents and my nieces, and they all serve to God to some capacity in ministry. And that's a miracle. That's really a miracle. And I'm just glad. I'm just glad that God was relentless in his search and his desire to come after me and use ordinary people to show me that he was real and that he really did love me. And I wasn't alone in this big universe. I wasn't alone in this journey of life, but that he came into it and just changed it all. And I tell you, life with God is exciting. I always say it's off the hook. There's nothing. I always thought that when you came to Christ or when I made that decision, it was like, oh, my life is going to be over. It was the exact opposite. My life had just begun. I had done things. I've been privileged to see and do things and be a part of things that I would never thought had been possible. And yeah, I'm very grateful and I'm thankful for a changed life that God can bring. We were part of an immediate gang. You know, there was always littler gangs. I was always, you know, friends and very close when you needed to be, you know, Latin Kings, everything in between. But we did have our own little clique, you know, I mean, yeah, just selling drugs. I mean, I remember getting into fights all the time and having a crew and having girls, you know, even do things for us and fights and rob people and just, yeah, a gang from neighborhoods and stuff like that, just rolling with the wrong crowd and doing things, yeah. After I had come to know the Lord, kind of immediately just went into ministry. I mean, what is ministry? Just, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I mean, how can you meet the living God and keep your mouth shut? I couldn't. So immediately just went into the neighborhood, my family, everywhere. And it was just like, by the grace of God, lives were being changed. And I knew this was evidence of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible teaches, man. It's like, you're going to be a witness to those around you and people are really going to change. And that's what was happening. And I knew it wasn't me. I knew who I was. I knew what I was capable of. And I wasn't capable of any of this, which proved the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And it just amazed me that who am I that God would actually use me to change lives and to help, you know, be his ambassador to others. And quickly got into ministry. I was able to be a part of a wonderful ministry that dedicated its time to inner city youth and the projects in Harlem, New York. And it was wonderful for just quite some time, just being able to be a part of that, to be a part of people's lives and just be Jesus. That was the ministry. That's your ministry. Be Jesus. You know, that was it. There's no greater call, no greater ministry, but to just be Jesus. And just to do that, I became a worship leader and, you know, didn't realize I could sing. And I had that ability to do that to that extent, or play instruments or do anything like that. But I realized that as you delight yourself in the Lord, as the word says, he will give you the desires of your heart. And he gave me desires I didn't even know I had. They came to life and it was beautiful. And yeah, been around the world, prisons, orphanages, refugee camps, and oh yeah,